You join us for a second week in Birmingham, a city with a proud history of scientific discovery. Here in the last century, William Murdoch devised gas lighting, Joseph Priestley discovered oxygen, and James Watt pioneered steam power. Their combined efforts producing the first British attempt at the world land speed all-night underwater steamroller record. Other famous Brummies include the political thinker Joseph Chamberlain, whose sons Austin and Neville also left their marks. Austin lent his name to the popular car manufactured nearby. The Chamberlain Allegro GLX. While one-time mayor Neville Chamberlain did so much to help ensure the restructuring of the city centre when he failed to prevent World War II. Names from the arts include the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, who became more popular when he dropped the name Gerard since 1969 Eurovision entry. Those were the days. Romantic novelist Barbara Cartland was born at nearby Edgbaston and made regular return visits until the unfortunate occasion when she was asked to smile for the cameras and three photographers died in a chalk dust accident. It's time we met the teams who will do battle in what is the last match in the current series. And what a competition we have in store. Possibly the most thrilling confrontation since Daniel stepped into the Lions' corner house. The teams are on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Tim Brooke Taylor. And on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. Making a most welcome return, the lovely lady who scores wherever we go. The delightful Samantha. Right, let's get on with it. Our first game this week is called Historical Headlines. This shouldn't be confused with a game called Historical Headlights. It involves the team scraping the dead flies off their car headlights, the winner being the one who finds the squash blue bottle with a face most like Queen Victoria. In this game, however, the object is to imagine how certain historical events might have been reported in today's newspapers or other periodicals. And the event is the three wise men follow the star to Bethlehem. Jeremy, will you start, please?
Camel train arrives even later than Virgin.
The Guardian, baby born in mangle. Gifts included old Frankenstein and a mirror.
Birmingham Post, Winterval begins.
And inside the Guardian... corrections and clarifications. Yesterday's headline, Wide Men and What Rich Gifts, should have read, Wise Men and What Rich Gits.
Sunday Sport, Freddie Starr, et our hamsters say wise men.
Miracle baby in stable condition.
The Independent, three wise men follow star to Bethlehem.
Sheep Farming Weekly. Shepherds got there first.
Son, you wait ages for a wise man and then three turn up all of them.
Right. The teams are going to demonstrate their musical timing skill next, because it's the pickup song round where they sing along to some popular discs. For the teams to make their choices, DJ Samantha generously got her voluminous greatest hits out. I'm only reading what it says here. Got her voluminous greatest hits out earlier. For them to put a finger on the one they'd most like to have. T She's now eagerly poised over the gramophone and ready to give the first player's final seven-incher a long overdue air. As the music plays, teams, you should join in until, at my signal, Samantha turns the volume down. Continue singing, and if on the music's return you're within a cheesy quaver of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean prizes. Nice to see you. To see you. This week's prize will ideally suit the dog-loving handyman. It's this set of adjustable spaniels. Graham, we'll start with you. Will you please accompany the Scarecrow and Judy Garland singing If I Only Had a Brain from The Wizard of Oz?
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain.
And I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Only had a brain.
I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you're thinking, it could be rather thinking if you only had a brain.
Oh, I will tell you why. The ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I'd never thought before. And then I could sit and think some more.
Okay, Barry, now, would you please accompany Marlene Dietrich singing You Do Something to Me?
Something that simply mystifies me. I was never a party member. Tell me, why should it be? These are not my legs. You have the power to hypnotize me. Let me live beneath your spell. Do, do that voodoo that you do so well. Oh, you do something.
Close. Finally, Tim and Jeremy, a duet for you. Would you please accompany the group Chumbawamba singing Tub Thumping?
When we're winning, we'll be singing.
I get knocked down.
But I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down. But I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down. But I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down. But I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. Piercing the night. Piercing the night.
He drinks a whiskey drink. He drinks a vodka drink. He drinks a lager drink. He drinks a cider drink. He sings the songs that remind him of the good times. He sings the songs that remind him of the better times.
Ooh,
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked
down. Okay, the next round is called Sound Charades. It's a wireless version of that TV classic, Give Us a Clue, where panelists were given a short time in which to mime the title of a book or film or stage play. The undisputed expert on the show was Lionel Blair, but even he needed 2 whole minutes on Harold Pinter's Caretaker. Okay, Tim and Jeremy, you're to start, and your title will now be broadcast via the laser display board. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Les Miserables. Les Miserables.
Right, you're guessing this one, Barry and Graham. Off you go, Tim and Jeremy.
Two words. It's a book, it's a musical, it's a film, it's a takeaway meal.
Okay, here we go. Hello, Les.
Hello, Les.
How are you?
Glum.
Les, do you think
Les,
that's...
Les.
Ah. Oh. And they sounded a bit miserable, didn't they?
They did. The very word, le mot juste.
Right, it's your turn, Barry and Graham. Your title's now being exhibited on the laser display board. And here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Never mind the buzzcocks. Never mind the buzzcocks.
Four words.
Four.
Four words, television.
Television.
Off we go.
Oh, Hamish.
Dougal, you'll have had your tea.
Well, look at this. I see you've taken up hen keeping.
Aye. For pleasure and profit.
Oh, profit as well. Are those over there? Are those all roosters?
Oh, you've got it in one, Dougal.
Oh, have I? Well, I better adjust it. Wait a minute. Look at that. Would you believe it? One of your roosters looks ready to crow. Oh, jings. What a noise was that?
Oh, pay no attention, man. They're just showing off.
Well.
Oh,
that wee tinker right up my kilt.
Oh. Ignore them, Dougal, for God's sake.
How can I? Ignore him is chewing my sporran, Hamish. Hamish!
Forget about them. Forget about them.
Is it We Hope It's All Over?
It is now.
Jeremy knows this one.
It's the buzz, isn't it? Never mind the buzz, Cox.
Oh.
We're now going to play the game called Mornington Crescent. But first, I noticed from our listener focus group intray that we've received almost several cards this week, and it comes from a Mrs. Trellis of North Wales. She writes, Dear Mrs. Antrobus, hats off to the I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue boys. Their book of limericks is a great read. And such good value at under a tenner. It inspired me to write one myself, which I would love to hear read out loud for the very first time. There was a young lady from Slough who last year developed a cough. She wasn't to know it would last until now. Let's hope the poor girl will pull through. How original. On with the game then, which is the season's grand final. And with the competition finally balanced, the teams are competing for the Armitage Shanks Charity Bowl. Obviously, in a match of such importance, I have to insist on strict adherence to the rules. So the practice of tagging, whereby a player simply follows his teammate's move with a straight sequential in an attempt to trap the opposition in a repeating loop, will not be tolerated. Also,
Hold on, I'm sorry. Go on, Graham.
Well, surely you don't follow your partner's move.
It alternates even between the team.
Whether it's sequential or not, it's the other. Well, you follow the opponent's move.
Yes. But somebody else comes in between, but you follow. If you're following somebody down the high speed and somebody steps in.
You do if you're tagging, don't you?
That wasn't made clear.
Well, he's making it clear now.
I'm making it clear now. The practice of tagging, whereby Ware simply follows his teammate's move with a straight sequential in an attempt to trap the opposition in a repeating loop, will not be tolerated. Also, don't forget the Kingsway is still closed at one end.
Oh, yeah.
We all know what that means. Tim, will you start, please?
Good Street.
New Street.
Oh, Quex Road.
Very good.
Quakes?
Quakes.
That's tagging.
But kink.
Yeah, no, it's non-sequential.
That's tagging, isn't it?
It's not tagging. Well, this early.
No, it's not. It's not a sequential.
Don't start.
It's a borderline case.
Straight sequential.
Well, all right.
If you don't like it rough, don't play the game, Baz.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
Whoever's turn is it?
It's my turn. It's my turn. Oxford Circus.
Yes. King's Cross. Now, that main line only.
Cockfosters.
Battersea Rise.
I beg your
pardon. Battersea Rise!
No, it's all right. They're heading for Nip.
Lovely trophy.
Okay, all right.
They're heading for Nip. And
see if it happens.
Clapham South.
Hampstead Heath.
Oh.
Hampstead Heath? Aldridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Telford Avenue.
Ooh, well done. Very good.
Oh.
Maybe a visitor has been practicing.
I've been working Swiss. On that. Maybe.
Yeah, Swiss.
What?
Swiss.
Go further out.
Swiss Cottage.
Mornington.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Oh, I love that game. Now listen, anybody who regularly enjoys How Do They Do That is in for a real treat now, and no mistake. We have our version of the popular TV program. She's hosted by Eamon Holmes, generally regarded as the TV world's Eamon Holmes. I have a selection of my favorite brain teasers teams, and I'd like you to answer the question, how do they do that? Jeremy first. How do they charm snakes?
They say, you look great, have you lost skin?
Now, I'm supposed to give you the correct answer, and that is that snake charmers don't actually charm the snakes with their flutes. Snakes don't have ears. They merely annoy them. Barry, how did they control the population before the pill?
Ferret down the trousers competition.
Well, the book says that it was by a combination of infanticide, zoophilia, coitus interruptus, ingestion of drugs, and homosexuality.
What a night that was.
Graham, how do they get catgut for tennis rackets?
From violins.
Well, actually, as we know, animal rights organizations the world over would be up in arms if tennis racket strings were actually made from a cat. So instead, they use a sheep. Tim, how do they select donors at a sperm bank?
They look for the Jeffrey Archer lookalike, who is a complete... No, I can't say that.
Oh. Rums.
There's also a regulatory body called OFTOS.
My information is that they usually pick people with a sperm count of 100 to 110 million per cubic centimeter.
Really?
The average is 50 to 60 million.
How do they count the sperms?
They have to ring them.
Yeah.
Can you watch?
I had it once, I fell asleep up it.
Did what one once? What did you do once and fell asleep?
Counting sperms.
Oh, get a life, old star.
Okay, now here are some for anyone to answer. How does a heat-seeking missile find its target?
I know this one. An advance mission drops an auger on the target.
Of course, you really know that the warhead in the missile sends off microwaves which bounce off the target and return to the receiver in the rocket.
Microwaves wouldn't have one in the kitchen.
How do astronauts relieve themselves in space?
You know the expression, piss up.
You don't want to know the answer, do you?
Oh, yes.
They email it to Houston, don't they?
They use plastic bags with adhesive lips. And also fitted receptacles connected by a hose.
What a night that was.
How do fireflies flash?
Oh, because the heat sets fire to their little dirty macs.
Scientists tell us that the firefly's flash occurs when adenosine triphosphate reacts with luciferase, magnesium ion, and luciferin to form a complex
Surely it's not as simple as that.
Okay, how do they select contestants for the Miss America contest?
Ring Mr. and Mrs. America and say, is she in?
Well, the answer is the contestants aged between 17 and 26 are judged in four categories: private interview, evening gown, talent, and swimsuit.
Oh, and Bill Clinton wants to enter them all.
Actually, it's very similar to the selection procedure for this program. But without the talent section. Finally, how did they decide that blue was for boys and pink for girls?
Baboons' arses.
Interestingly enough, blue was thought to ward off evil forces, and since it was deemed more important to protect little boys, they were dressed in blue. Little girls were dressed in pink and had to fend for themselves.
Ah.
Okay, the teams are going to exercise a little discreet censorship now. In this round, I'd like the teams to sing cleaned-up versions of certain songs. Piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell, who, we were impressed to hear, was once asked by Bud Flanagan to do Underneath the Arches. Colin was so good, Mr. Flanagan got him to clean the windscreen and empty the ashtray as well. Okay, Barry and Gray, will you please provide a censored version of Smoke Gets in Your Eyes?
When you pass a tune, jump off.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true. I, of course, replied, something here inside cannot be denied. They said someday you'll find all who are blind. When you're on fire, you must realize gets in your eyes. So I them and I gaily to think they could mine. Yet today my love has blown away. I am without mine. Now laughing friends deride, I cannot hide. So I can say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your.
Okay, Tim and Jeremy now, will you please censor a medley of songs by Rolf Harris?
Two little boys had two little toys. Each had a wooden. Gaily they'd play each summer's day. Both, of course. And then we wrote, me kangaroo down, sport. Me kangaroo down. Me kangaroo down, sport. Me kangaroo down. Keep me cock cool, girl. Keep me cock cool. Don't go in the pool, girl. Keep me cock cool. Arise, come every morning. Arise, come every morning. wake up every morning, bringing back the warmth to the...
Well, it's very nearly time to end the show, but not before we enjoy a round of Computer Operators Film Club. Samantha tells me she's had to nip out to meet a nice chap who's training her in computer skills. Tonight she hopes he's going to show her the 3.5-inch floppy he's got in his Mac. So while she's enjoying that, I'd like the teams to suggest a season of movie titles that might attract an audience from the world of computing. Barry, will you start, please?
Thoroughly Modem Millie.
Indiana Jones and the Temp File of Doom.
The Pit and the Pentium.
The Interface of Fu Manchu.
Bring me the website of Alfredo Garcia. Logons run.
LCD-ROM.
The Mad Processor.
The Charge of Delete Brigade.
The Printer of Zender.
Any Shakespeare film's got the dialogue. Soft, wherefore art thou? Now is the printer of our disc content.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the bottom of time falls out of the bin bag of destiny, and the unseen charlady of fate, Mr. Sheen's the Formica tabletop of eternity, I notice it's the end of the show, and indeed the series. We'll be back in the spring. Yeah, we'll be back in the spring for more of the same. So in the meantime, from the teams, Samantha and myself, and the good people of Birmingham, it's goodbye.
Timbrook Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Gardner and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith. Thank you.